Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Welcome to this week's Irate Tireless Minority, and thick and fast they came at last, and more and more and more. It's part of Lewis Carroll's poem from Tweedledee and Tweedledum about the oysters in Alice in Wonderland. And it's talking about the walrus and something else going for a walk and asking the oysters to come along for a walk with them, and then they end up eating all the oysters. They only ask for four, one to hold each hand, but then more and more and more come, and then they eat them all. But for our purposes here today, it means in thick and fast they came at last, and more and more and more, and that would be immigrants and so-called refugees. But first, we're going to start out with IT&T closing. Now, there's a lovely editorial article in the Wall Street Journal, Obama's For-Profit Execution, How to Kill a Company Without Providing a Single Allegation. Now, IT&T did have troubles. They weren't meeting some accreditation board's requirements. This article starts out, or this opinion piece starts out with, say what you will about the Obama administration, it isn't slowing down as it heads for the exits. The Education Department wants to put as many for-profit colleges as possible out of business, and last week it gave ITT Technical Institute a de facto death sentence. It shows how a regulatory assault can kill a company without proving a single allegation. First targeted ITT in August 2014 when it put the school on probation and demanded an irrevocable $80 million letter of credit. This was a signal for some 20 state attorneys general, Securities and Exchange Commission, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to pounce, probing everything from the college's student recruitment and graduate job placement to its third-party private student loan program. ITT denies their allegations, but that's irrelevant when the feds have marked you for termination. And then the investigations triggered a review by the Accrediting Council for Independent Colleges and Schools, which in April threatened to withdraw its accreditation because the government litigation challenged the company's financial viability. The Education Department then used the accreditor's warning as the reason to raise its collateral demand to $123 million. So you can see how this works. It's just one little thing after another. Now, all these agencies are supposed to be to protect the consumer. And there is some problems there. There are always going to be problems in any company, in any organization, in any school. And we have one commenter, Wade Johnson, saying, "I taught engineering technology at the university and community college level and suspect that the outcomes of ITT graduation were marginal. For many years, community colleges would not accept ITT courses for transfer. They were deficient in math requirements, content, etc. Potential ITT students were oversold on the benefits of costly training, usually requiring a student loan. In comparison, DeVry Institute is accreditation board for engineering and engineering technology accredited and is an outstanding private college. While working in industry and seeking electronic technicians, I looked askance at ITT training compared with community college or even military training in electronics. Ooh, or even military training where their lives depend on it. But here's the thing. If the government weren't so heavily involved in education, particularly in providing the student loan programs, you would think, first of all, a college like this would not cost as much, which is probably why people went to it, because it wasn't as quite as costly as, say, DeVry. And they would do, if they had to go in debt, they would do their due diligence. They would say, how are the graduates of this program doing? Are they being placed? You know, a reasonable person should go around and look at the placement of graduates from their chosen institute. That's what you do if you're a reasonable person, and parents should be guiding their children in this case. And if they're not being placed, then you don't go there. You don't spend your money there, and it fails all by itself. Thank you very much, Mr. Government, because money doesn't grow on trees for the rest of us. But because the government puts government money, and you know the bottomless pockets of the taxpayer are behind this, or the idea that the taxpayer's pockets are bottomless. When the government puts money into something, causes things to happen there. When the government subsidizes something, you get more of it. We need to get the government out of education, except on the local level. There is absolutely no constitutional justification for education, for a Department of Education, or for their fingers meddling in every pie. Leave it up to the communities to decide curriculum and hiring teachers and what teachers to hire, what's going to be taught, and the disciplinary procedures for their school district. You leave it up to them and get the government out of education. Because now what you've got is a whole bunch of students who don't have an education. What are they going to do when they apply for a job? We don't know. Now, according to an article in Snopes, which, you know, pretty much is heavily on the government side, as usual. It says students have the option of starting over with a clean slate and having their federal student loans discharged, or transferring their credits and continuing at a different school to graduation. Who's going to accept those credits? Since the government endangered their accreditation, caused the accrediting bureau to pull or question their accreditation, who's going to take those credits? So basically, this is another thing where if you have your federal student loan discharged, well, congratulations, the taxpayers pay for it. Again. Again. So let's go moving on. This is lovely. The FBI says Mrs. Clinton's laptop got lost in the mail. And this is from Bloomberg.com. That last article was from the Wall Street Journal, that editorial. This is from Bloomberg.com. Not only was she using multiple phones, but sometimes they smashed with hammers. They didn't, you know, when she wasn't going to use them anymore, instead of turning them over to the government as government property because they have government information on them and letting the appropriate agencies, because we have agencies, we pay for them, lots of money, for these technicians to be able to wipe those things clean, they decide they just smash them with hammers and throw them away or something. And she's lost a couple of phones with classified emails, with classified information on them. No big deal, because she's Mrs. Hillary Clinton. And Ms. Rodham Clinton can do whatever she freaking well likes. apparently a personal laptop computer used to archive Hillary Clinton's emails when she was Secretary of State went missing after being put in the mail, according to the FBI's report on its investigation into her use of a private email system. Emails that she sent and received through her private server during her tenure were archived on the laptop in 2013 by a person who was an assistant to former President Bill Clinton, the FBI said in its heavily redacted investigative report. Someone whose name was redacted in the report told the agency that he later deleted the emails from the laptop but didn't wipe its hard drive. A computer tech can often recover such emails that have been deleted but not permanently erased. FBI sought the laptop as part of its investigation, but its whereabouts remain unknown. The last time it was seen was when it was put in the mail. FBI, are you sure? Maybe the dog ate it. The check was lost in the mail. So, all you folks out there who, oh my gosh, a top aide, the aide to the Secretary of State, who served Mr. Clinton as well, apparently, decided to put an email with classified and top secret things in the mail. Or decide to put a computer, a laptop, in the mail. Really? U.S. Postal Service. That's a secure way to send something with classified top secret information on it. But that's okay, because Mrs. Clinton is untouchable. Okay, I'm going to go into rant mode in a minute here, so I think I had better just calm myself down and move on. Oh, goody, 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 goody. Let's move on to this from Judicial Watch. Droves of African migrants in Mexico awaiting U.S. asylum under secret pact. Herds they call them, of African immigrants are being housed in shelters in the Mexican border town of Tijuana while they await entry into the U.S. under what appears to be a secret accord between the Obama administration, Mexico, and Central American countries. The Africans transited on their journey north. A backlog of African immigrants is overwhelming limited shelter space in Tijuana, and Mexican officials blame the slow pace of U.S. immigration authorities inside in the San Ysidro port of entry, granting only 50 asylum solicitations daily. Details about this disturbing program come from Mexico's immigration agency and appear in an article published by the country's largest newspaper. Mexico is living, poor Mexico, they're living through a wave of undocumented Africans due to a humanitarian crisis on that continent that has saturated shelters in Tapachula, Chiapas, and generated pressure on shelters in Tijuana, Baja California. The news article states, that's what the news article says. They're suffering through a wave of them. Their journey begins in Brazil under a South American policy that allows the free transit of immigrants through the continent. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh, 90 seconds. How is this a 90-second warning? Oh, I bet I forgot to make this show 30 minutes. Drat, anyway, they're being brought through Mexico to America. Call your congressman. I've got links to Refugee Resettlement Watch and their refugee services, 95% funded by taxpayers. The immigrants in the jungle of Calais are attacking trucks going to the port so that they can sneak onto those trucks when they stop. They throw logs and stuff in the road and at the trucks. I say leave some trucks open and let them on and then pack them up and send them home because you've already got them handy in that truck. And please join me in my sending condolences and prayers to the family and friends of Ms. Phyllis Schlafly, who passed away this day, or this week. And there we go. Well, that stinks. It says I'm live. It says I'm on air. But let's see here. Go to my episodes and see if I can edit this one since I'm still maybe on air. Nope, not giving me that option. So I'm sorry, folks, but we are all an irate, tireless minority of one. We can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. Call your congressman. Cut the flow of money to the refugee resettlement agencies. There are 9 of them with 350 other ones getting millions and millions of taxpayer dollars at your expense to bring in the enemies of this nation.